new work. You know, we always got something that we have to fix up. We have to change things. We have toilets that have to be replaced. You know, a refrigerator that you buy now, their life expectancy is about 10 years. Right? These things, we have refrigerators that were built back in the 50s. They're still going. You know, 40s, 50s, 60s, they're still going. They're tanks. But the ones you buy now, 10 years. Water heater. See? Yeah. 10 years. Water heater, washer and dryers, all that stuff, about 10 years. You know, the American economy is not stupid. They have to have new things that are going on to continue to move forward. If you look at the January, we have New Year's Day. We have Super Bowl. Well, that's in February, I guess. We got Valentine's Day. We got St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. See, you got to have something, right? You've got to have something to get the people to do something, to go out and spend money. It's an influx of cash that come on. It's a because so we can continue to do the works that we're that the country or the individuals or the corporations are trying to achieve. They've got to spur you on for a new work, right? New washing machine, a new dishwasher, a new this, a new that. So the concept of having a new work, replacing the deck, the boards on your deck, you know, we understand that there's always something that we have to do to continue to move forward. Ezekiel 11:19-20 says, "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." There's several scriptures like this. I think Jeremiah 30:31, something like that. It talks about this. Hebrews quotes the new covenant coming. And it talks about, you know, a new work that's being done. And so a lot of people would think that it's like, they talk that it's like a new spirit that's coming. But it's not a new spirit that's coming. It's a new work of the Spirit. The Spirit has always been at work. But some people like to think that a different spirit is coming. It's like they think that there's a different God over the New Testament versus the God that was over the Old Testament. No, the Old Testament promised that there would be a Savior coming. And when that Savior came, he didn't go against God's law. He didn't do things that were contrary to God. We say that he showed love, and the Old Testament showed wrath. But see, I see it a different way. When I read Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel and all these things, God pleaded through these things. He says, "I've done everything for you. I've given you everything. What more can I do?" Bless you. And when Christ came, what I see is he said in the parable, when he said, "Last of all, I will send my son." You see, Jesus said, "I'm it. I'm the last one. If you don't get it now, you're done. There'll be no more prophets. There'll be no more teachings. There'll be no more chances. I'm the last one." God has sent prophet after prophet after prophet. But this time, he done something just a little bit differently. He was talking about a new work that the Spirit would be involved. It's a new work of the Holy Spirit, not a new spirit. And a lot of people, if you believe that there's a different God over the Old Testament versus the New Testament, then you would see another spirit. But there's only two spirits at work in the world. That's God and Satan. That's it. So if we got a different spirit over the New Testament, who was over the Old Testament? See, it's the same one. But it's a new work of the Spirit, not a different spirit. Genesis 1:1-2, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of waters." You see, the Holy Spirit has always been at work. He was at work in our creation. He was at work in the creation. He was behind Moses when he parted the Red Sea. He was behind the miracles that God did, because that was the power of God, the Holy Spirit at work in men, the Holy Spirit at work on this world, in this earth, to create this world, to earth, to drive it forward. It's always been how God did things. The Holy Spirit has always been at work. So when we say that there's a new work coming, you would say, well, what's the new work, right? If it's not a different spirit, what is the new work that he is doing? This new work that's coming is unlike the previous work of the Holy Spirit, because the previous work of the Holy Spirit through creation, after they got kicked out of the garden and God separated for himself a people, when he called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldeans, and he called him out, and Abraham went on to, in his lineage come Moses that set up the nation of Israel. They crossed the Red Sea. They went into Cana, and the nation of Israel was set up. And so God was at work through the Holy Spirit in forming that nation over countless years. We wonder why that God doesn't work on our time frame. Look how long he took to establish the nation of Israel. From the after Noah and the flood, you would have thought that he would have set his people up right then and there, but God didn't do it that way. You said it this morning. We don't think like God. So he started to do a work with the Holy Spirit in men to set up the nation of Israel. And so when Christ came, they knew that these people were the people of God, and that when Jesus came, that he was from God, because he was from those people. Those people showed the works of the Spirit. They had the temple. They did all of these things, and the Holy Spirit was at work. But the new work that he's going to do, the Holy Spirit's going to do, would not simply be among the Jews alone, but a new Spirit was promised for both Jew and Gentile. The Spirit was at work, but he was only at work through the Jewish nation. Now, I know that you'll see that there's other things where we saw the Spirit at work. We see where God rose up Babylon to take over Israel. Well, the Spirit was behind that when the Babylonians overtook the nation of Israel. But as a work that he sat down to do, his focus was on those people to bring about the seed of Christ. Right? That was the work of the Spirit, to bring about the seed of Christ. And so once he came, there was a new work that was promised, a new work of the Spirit, and it wouldn't just be centered around the nation of Israel. So, once we say this, and we've done studies on this, most studies stop at immersion. They say that the new work of the Spirit is the indwelling, the receiving of the promise of the new work. Right? So, most of the studies, when they talk about the new work that is coming of the Spirit, is that it is found in the promise, it is found in the receiving of the Holy Spirit of God, and the new work is that every immersed believer in Christ will receive the Holy Spirit. And that's true. That was the new work that he promised. So, what does the Holy Spirit do once that happens? You see, we think in our minds that the new work was us receiving the Spirit, and then we put all of our hope, and this isn't misplaced hope, but we put, well, we've got the Spirit now, Jesus, it's up to you. Right? We talked about that this morning. Dewey mentioned it and said that, nope, sometimes you got to ask God. You don't just go around and try to look at people's needs and decide, okay, well, I know what you need. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to help you out with this. You don't give to your kids before, you know, everything that they need. You let them understand and find and be willing to accept help, because it's very prideful to not accept anybody's help. It's because everybody needs help. When you get older and you fall down, you need someone to help you up. When you find yourself in trouble, you need someone. So the Spirit come to us, and that was the new work that was promised. But it came to us. What work are we going to do? God did His part, didn't He? He brought Jesus through the nation of Israel. He did His part. And when Jesus showed up on the scene, He did His part. John the Baptist did his part. And now we've received the Holy Spirit of God, and we're taught that the new work was us receiving the Spirit. But this is just the beginning of the new work. Right? This is the beginning of the new work. Jesus told us parables. And one of the parables was that no man goes to build a tower and doesn't have the plans or count the cost. We've been given the Holy Spirit of God. He's done His part. And now it's time for us to do our new work. Right? Matthew 15, 7 through 9, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and He said, "You hypocrites." He said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" If you go to the actual scripture that is quoted here from Isaiah, he says that the fear, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he says the fear of the Lord comes through the doctrines of men. See, they don't fear God, they fear the man talking, they fear the man teaching, right? And he told him, he said, that you honor me with your lips, but your heart isn't with me. You see? You see, this new heart that we're given, remember he said he's going to take the heart of stone out and give us a heart of flesh? This is part of the new work. He's done his part. He's given us a heart of flesh now. See, this new heart, unlike the heart of stone written on stone tablets, the law he was talking about that was without mercy, this new heart will expose false worship. Because Jesus saw these people and He said, "You worship me, but not with your heart." You see, this new work that God is accomplishing in us, He's giving us this new heart. And so that when He saw the Pharisees that they were worshiping God and their heart was not in that worship, you talked about that this morning, about going through the motions up here at the table, that God is we're going through the motions, but our heart isn't in it. The Spirit within us is just like Jesus looking at those Pharisees. He'll bring conviction upon you and say, "Your heart is not in this. You're just here. Your heart is not in this." You see, the new work that He did, He gave us the Holy Spirit. That was His part. Now we have to let the Holy Spirit do the work through us. And that heart that He's talking about will expose false worship. He saw it in these men. But see, you know what we saw? It appeared that the Pharisees were covenant keepers. People looked to them. They went, scribes followed around these people. And it looked like these people were covenant keepers. It looks like we have a house of faithful people. I'm not taking away from your faithfulness. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm saying is that the heart that God has given you will expose lies. And the easiest person we lie to is ourselves. Easy to lie to ourselves. Because when we lie to ourselves, then it's easier to lie to others because we can live out that lie. It looked like the Pharisees were covenant keepers, but they were not. And this new heart that He gave them exposed this. And they knew it too. When He confronted them with this, they knew it too, because in secret they tried to kill Him. In secret they went behind to the Romans to try to get Him crucified, to get Him killed, to get Him taken away. They had trials that were in secret at night when they're not supposed to do it. And this heart that was coming, the new work, it would expose these things. See, a Christian just can't continue to live a life of disobedience because the heart within us is going to convict us. That's part of the new work that He's talking about. We always end the studies with the new work is the promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The studies that we did, that's where we stopped. That's where we stopped. But that's just the starting point. And we know that. That's the starting point. But why we stop there is because we put the monkey on the back of Christ. It's His responsibility now. We've done our part because we've been immersed. No, no, no. If the Holy Spirit wasn't involved, the Bible says that that baptism is from God, and the Holy Spirit is involved there, because if He wasn't, we would just be getting wet. So God did His part, and then what is the Spirit supposed to do in us? Just hang around until we die? No, no, he's created a new work in us, a new work. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5, coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as a living stone are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Jesus said, He said that I will tear down this temple, and He said that you tear down this temple, and He said I'll build it back in 3 days. And that's what He did. We have become living stones. God has made us alive, and He's made us part of the temple. He's made us a part. He's made us the temple of God, the place where the Spirit of God resides, and we are living stones. He has made us alive in Christ. That new work that He accomplished was giving us a new heart, and He was making us a part of the body of Christ. The buildings that we worship in are not like the temple that it was. Our bodies are like the temple that Jesus. We are living stones, rejected by men. He doesn't see us as something that is dead and worthless like the old temple where He resided. He waited there until He could reside in us, because He's made us living stones. Not stones that just stand there and wait on God. We are living stones. Jesus said He would rebuild the temple by a new and living way. Hebrews 10:20 calls us a new and living way. And so when you look at the temple, you ask yourself, excuse me, you ask yourself, what is the comparison between the work that God has done making us living stones and the temple? Because that's what He's done. He's given us a heart. He's given us a life. He's given us, He's made us alive to do something. That's a work that the Holy Spirit wants to do through us. You see, the temple was for worship. It was for sacrifice. For all the world to know, this is where the Lord dwells. That's the work that He's done, that He's trying to accomplish in you. So that the world sees you as an advocate for God. Just like they looked at Israel and saw that temple, and they said, surely the Lord lives there. Is that what they say about us? No, they say that we can't agree, that we're judgmental, right? They say that we're pious, we think we're better than other people, we think we're always right, we're just hateful people. The world looks at us and wants to silence us. We have to look and see that we have to be a place of worship, a place of sacrifice for all the world to know that this is where the Lord dwells. This here is where the Lord dwells. And you know, if they hate you, Jesus said that if they hate you, remember that they hated Me first. We don't have to make everyone happy. We have to start out with the new work that God has given us, with the Holy Spirit made us living stones, giving us a heart, giving us a purpose to do something. Not just to be immersed into Christ and say, okay, God, I've got Your gift. I've got Your gift. You know, people give rich kids a bad rap, and you know, there's good and bad everywhere. But if I received $1 million from my father and said, he said, here's your inheritance, I could take that and go do something with it, or I could take that and just squander it away. You see, God has given you a gift. The Holy Spirit in your life is a gift. What are we doing with Him? I understand. I mean, we have, look at how little effort that is put into things that God amplifies. He does that because of the Spirit that's at work through us. That's why when we take up tithes, He says, you give what you think is best. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to deal with you when you start dealing with God wrongfully with tithes. That's why that there is freedom in Christ, not because you can do whatever you want, but because He knows that the Holy Spirit is going to deal with you. The Holy Spirit is going to bring to remembrance those things that displeases God. He's going to bring this. He's going to create a new work in you. We are a new creation. We have a new heart. We have a new mind. The new work is what the Holy Spirit will do through us. We're a new person. We've been given a new heart. Man, you know, people who have blockages and then they go through and they have stents put in or bypass, open heart surgery, bypass and stuff. Man, when they come to, they said they feel like they're 20, 30 years younger. Because they can feel that heart alive inside of them. They can feel that heart beating inside of them. They feel strong. They feel new. That's the way we're supposed to have felt when we were baptized into Christ, when we were immersed, when we received the Holy Spirit. Not let that thought die. Not just sit down and say, okay, now I'll come to church and I read the Bible and I'm, you know, got the promise and this is what I'm doing with it. We're a new creation, a new mind to see things the way that God sees them. We talked about that this morning. Elijah could see God on the mountainside. He could see the fiery chariots. He could see the whole hills filled with the warriors, the angels of God to fight. But through our eyes, through the old heart, through the old mind, we just saw defeat. But God didn't show us that with the new heart and the new mind. He showed us victory. He wants us to teach like Paul. He wants us to be confident in the Word of God. He doesn't want people to fear saying the truth. He wants us, the Spirit within us is going to give us the power to teach like Paul, to teach the truth, to stand in the face of adversity. We talked about that this morning. The church not standing up. Why is the church not standing up? We have the power of Almighty God. Why are we not standing up against the things that are happening today? We're not. We fear persecution. I'm no different than anybody else. Anything that you think, wow, how did he learn? I watched people when I was young in the faith, and I saw people take the most simplest verse, to take a book that just was redundant and didn't really speak to me. And he got so much joy and so much power out of it. And I thought, God, why can't I be like that? Why can't I read those words and it come alive for me? And it does. It does. When I read, it comes alive. The Holy Spirit illuminates those words and gives it power so that I can preach like Paul. Fight like David. No one is going to stand against us. No one. Everyone will fall. Doesn't look that way. Remember, he's given us a new mind, a new heart, new eyes. We see things differently. Elijah and Elisha was sitting there and he said, Lord, open his eyes, let him see. And David, when he stood against Goliath, he said, you dare defy the armies of the living God. He said, today I will have your head. But he fell to a woman. He fought Goliath, but he fell to a woman. Build like Noah. Noah was asked to do a task that took him 120 years. 120 years. And you say, well, they lived longer back then. It's still 120 years of devotion to God, to get up. I don't feel like building that ark today. Lord, this is too much. Could you imagine starting to cut wood and hone it or whatever they do with the whatever tools they had, sharpened rocks and stripping off the bark and stuff and you got one, it took you 2 days to get one tree down and ready for just one piece of wood for the ark. It had to have been, but we can build like Noah. Noah built something that lasted and that saved him through the judgment of the world. Obey like Daniel. The thing that we always talk about Daniel is Daniel was saved from the lion's mouth. You know the thing we don't talk about Daniel? He went into the lion's den. God allowed him to go into the lion's den. I can't fathom that. If he's going to save him, why did he put him in there? I mean, we can say it was for the glory of God so that Nebuchadnezzar or whoever, Xerxes or whoever it was, said, Daniel, are you okay? Has your God delivered you? So we say that he went in so that he could say, yes, mighty king, I'm still alive. Don't fear. But God allowed him to go into the lion's den. We can obey like Daniel. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to, as a Christian, we don't have to be afraid to pray over our meal when we're out somewhere. We don't have to be afraid when someone is hurting to put your arm on them and say, can I pray for you? That's going to do a lot of good. Thoughts and prayers and all and such, right? Our thoughts and prayers be with this person. We don't have to be afraid. We can obey like Daniel was. Daniel was told, do not pray to your God. And he did. You know what he had to do to stay out of the lion's den? All he had to do was shut the window. And he didn't. Because he knew in his heart, right? That heart that was covered, he knew that it was wrong. We can lead like Moses. Can you imagine Moses wandering through the desert for 40 years? You talk about a bunch of complainers. Church got nothing on them. I mean, we like to complain sometimes about this or that or whatever. But 40 years wandering through the desert. He had to even question himself, I would think. He even got mad at God. God told him to speak to the rock and he struck the rock out of anger. We can lead like Moses. When God has given us this new work, it is to do the things of God. Not just accomplish something, not just worship, but for everybody to know that when they see you, that is where the Lord dwells. And He gave us a heart so that we could love like Jesus. And that kind of love that Jesus had did not overlook sin. It saw through the sin and saw the person worth saving. And he saw the person worth saying, I'm going to tell you this. I want to talk to you a minute. I want to help you. See, it's not just about saying, well, they're sinners. we don't sit with them. Jesus said it this way. He said, The people who are well do not need a doctor. He said, I'm going to the people that are sick. And when he came to them, they listened to him. Now, how many people changed their life after listening to him? I don't know. But some did. Because that's what Jesus did. He changed people's lives. This new heart that we have, this new life, this new creation, this new mind, this new work that the Spirit is doing, it's the promise, the new work, is every immersed believer receives the Holy Spirit, but that is just the beginning of the work that He is going to accomplish in us. Just the beginning. And so when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, he talked about that new work. He talked about the old man. He talked about the old work that was done. And you know what the best that they had when the old work was done with the temple and the law, the best that they had is that let all the house of Israel know assuredly that when this Jesus showed up on the scene, you killed him. You killed him. And he was talking about himself too, because Jesus died for his sins as well as anybody else's. But he says, you killed him. That was the best that old heart of stone could do, was to hate God enough to kill him. And God said, I'm going to take that heart out of you, that heart of deceitfulness, that heart of envy, that heart of all these things that we can come up with in our mind and schemes and all. He said, I'm going to take that heart out of you because that's not going to help you. And he says, I'm going to give you a heart like I have to sacrifice, to do the work of God, to continue forward like Noah, to lead like Moses, and to preach like Paul. He said, I'm going to give you this heart. And Peter told him, you've killed the one that's come to save you. But there was a few that saw, and they wanted that new heart. They wanted that new life that there was being promised. They wanted that redemption that was coming. And he said, what are we supposed to do? If our old heart only brought us to a point where we ended up hating God, what are we going to do if we're in this kind of shape? And he told them, repent and be baptized so you can start the new work. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?